welcome to Mundo Albiceleste podcast, a new edition where we will discuss everything about football in Argentina. My name is Sebastian Garcia. I know I never introduced myself properly, and every time I listen to the pod afterward, I said, oh, I never introduced myself. So this time I remember. And I'm with John in Malaysia, and he's got something to give us, that's something like a surprise waiting for us in this edition of the Mundo Albiceleste podcast. How are you, John?
Hi, Seba. I'm doing fine, and it's great to be back in the podcast. And yes, we have a big surprise for everybody in Mundo Albiceleste. And our special guest today, I would say he's very, very far away from me, but almost very close to Seba, and probably Boca's most beloved supporter that we all know in Mundo Albiceleste. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you guys Johnny.
Hey, greetings, everyone. Glad to be here.
An American in Buenos Aires. So tell us roughly what brings you to Buenos Aires and how your love for Boca and the city began.
Hi, Seba. I moved to Buenos Aires about 4 years ago. I worked out a situation with the people that I worked for in Miami where they would let me do what I do from down here. So I came to Buenos Aires, and I've been here most of the time over the past 4 years. I traveled a little bit. And soon after I came here, I was watching football on TV, and I thought, well, who am I going to root for? And then I saw River and said, oh, maybe I'll root for River. And then a friend of mine got a hold of me and said, no, you can't do that. You have to be a Boca fan. So that's how that all began, and so I'm still a big Boca fan.
Ah, so probably he saved your life without knowing
it. He did. He did. Yes, absolutely.
But the thing, Johnny, you don't sound like a Boca, like a four-year-old Boca fan. You know, every time when I hear your comments, it's as if like you were born in the Bombonera.
You know what? It's funny. Football for me is almost a new sport. You know, I grew up in the States and was a big baseball, basketball, and North American football fan. And then many years ago, I moved to Miami and became more and more interested. And then when I came to Buenos Aires, I became even more interested. And so now what's happened is that I watch all of the old footage of Boca and other teams in Argentina dating back, 10, 15, 20 years. And so I'm sort of increasing my knowledge base by looking at things that happened a long time ago and talking to my friends. It's an interesting experience.
Yeah, it's nice. And in a way, I envy you because you have so many new things to know about and to learn, and that's something that I really envy, because now you have this whole world to discover, and maybe somebody will bring up a new name for you in a conversation, and then you have YouTube or the internet to find out about this new name they have.
That's exactly right, Saber. That's exactly how it works.
Yeah, it's amazing. And talking about former players at Boca, I believe this podcast should be almost entirely dedicated to Carlos Tevez and his new signing for Man City. What is your initial feeling about this, Johnny?
You know, I'm happy to see that Carlos has the decision-making process behind him and he can go ahead and focus on what he wants to do. I sort of wish he would have gone to Spain or Italy, but I'm not unhappy with them going to Manchester City. I think he'll do fine there. I think we all think he'll do fine there. I'm not really crazy about seeing him hooked up with Robinho, but I'll get used to that.
Yeah, not your favorite person, right?
No, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But well, Carlos will do really good there. I'm really happy for Carlitos.
To make it simpler for you, he's Brazilian. That's it. That's all you need to know.
That's part of it.
I hope Rafael is not listening to this, or else he will kill me, my friend, my Brazilian friend. And what is it what you have to say about Tevez going to City, John?
Well, it's all over the news right now in every football website that you can find in the internet. I suppose that it was something that we all, it was long overdue. And to me, I think it's good that it's a done deal right now, because it allows him to focus on his club football career as soon as possible, considering that he still have another 1.5 months to go before the English season kicks off. And with that, he can, you know, put his focus on what he needs to do in Man City. I guess I have to agree with Johnny, you know. I mean, he did made a good decision going to a club where I'm supposed that we can say that he will be guaranteed a first-team football. He will probably given more time out to play, which will also help him in the process when he comes to play for Argentina.
Yeah, well, here's my take on this. And I'm already reading and hearing on all over the media in Argentina a lot of people saying, oh, he made a mistake. He left a very big and important club that is always challenging for titles. And he's always, it's always a club that is favorite to win every competition they play in. And he moved to a place with no pedigree, a team that has always been up and down, with a lot of problems and a lot of pressures to play there. But I think, considering this is a World Cup season, the one that will start very soon in England, I believe Tevez made a decision thinking already of a World Cup and how beneficial it would be for his body to play what could be considered a short season for him, because coming from consecutive seasons with Man United reaching the Champions League final, playing at reaching the latest stages of the FA Cup, playing the Carling Cup, playing the FIFA Club World Cup, I mean, it was like he was playing almost 70 fixtures, 70 matches per season, and that's too much. And now, if you compare to the season he will have, at least his first season at Man City, he will have 38 league matches, and then it will depend on whether Man City advance to the final or semi-finals of the FA Cup. But it will be no more than 50 matches, and I believe it could be much less than that. So this is going to be a good thing for his body, and especially considering that he has to get ready for the World Cup. And playing in a shorter season, so to speak, will benefit Tevez like you wouldn't believe, because he will get to get more rhythm. He will be fresh when the World Cup comes, and you also have to consider that he didn't take part on any summer competition like Confederations Cup or the Copa America, because there wasn't any, or the Olympics. So he'll be fresh, and I think that's a good news for Argentina. And then it will be up to him and the players around him to make City progress to the Champions League in the following season. So I think overall it's a good thing on paper, and then we'll have to see, like every team getting to play and stuff, it will be crucial for the team to see how the players work together. And I'm talking about that, we have seen that Man City has a lot of strikers and forwards, and they're even chasing Emmanuel Adebayor, the striker of Arsenal. So what is your opinion on this, John? Will he be able to beat all the competition and secure a first team?
Well, I guess at the moment we do know that Manchester City has a number of strikers. I think altogether, someone had mentioned in our blog, there's about 11 of them. But let's not forget, they are also currently in the process of offloading some of them. I think, you know, Joe is one of the players that has already been transferred out. And I think the likes of Salcido, Bellamy, Benjani and Borjinov, I'm not so sure whether their future is in Man City next season. I believe that quite a number of them will move out in the following weeks to come. So I guess at the end of the day, you know, the arrival of Adebayo, it was just simply as a backup plan, just in case if Samuel Eto'o doesn't make it there. So you probably might have Eto'o and Santa Cruz, Tevez, and maybe Robinho. And I think when I look at Adebayo, he's more like an out-and-out striker, just like Santa Cruz. So I guess those two guys will be fighting for the other spot. And it will be likely between either one of them and Tevez up front. So I don't see there's going to be a problem for Tevez in terms of first team appearance or his place being jeopardy in the starting lineup.
Well, I have to agree with you in that. And But let me add that I believe Samuel Eto'o will stay at Barcelona. That's the latest I heard, and that's why they're going for Adebayor. And I agree with you that Adebayor will have to fight for a place with Roque Santa Cruz. You'll be more Roque Santa Cruz's problem rather than Tevez. I see Tevez playing no matter what. And how do you see this developing, Johnny?
No, I think he'll do great there. You know, I don't think the competition will bother him. I mean, look, at May had competition there, and he played great there as much time as he wanted. But when he played, he did well. And I'm sure he'll do the same in Manchester City. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I've been watching some clips on the internet, and I've been reading some forums, fan forums of Man City, and they are over the moon. That goes without saying. And I believe they're right in getting very excited for next season, because not only they have added Carlos Tevez, they also have an England national team player with experience such as Gareth Barry coming from Aston Villa. They're chasing John Terry and Julian Lescott, who plays for Everton. They could be challenging the Big Four in this season. If this season could probably come too soon for them, but they have a project in place at the City of Manchester Stadium, and I think the signing of Tevez is a statement of intent, and that club will probably be going places. And the major question will be on the manager, Mark Hughes, who is not a very proven manager, and he will have a lot to prove this season. And he will have the players at his disposal. So he has a very interesting young players such as Micah Richards and Steven Ireland. Don't forget Elano and Petrov. I think the players are there. Tevez won't feel alone. He won't have to carry the full team on his shoulders. He'll have very interesting company. And I'm really excited to see how well they could work together with Robinho. And like every big transfer from one club to another, this one didn't come without controversy. And I remember Tevez saying, "I wouldn't go to Liverpool out of respect for the Man United fans because of the rivalry there is between the two sides." But now he went to City, that's the other big rival of Man United. And some Man United fans didn't take it quite easily, and they're saying a lot of bad things about Tevez and how he only moved for the money, how greedy he is, stuff like that. They didn't take into consideration what the player was feeling during the last season. He wasn't playing as much as he would have liked to, and that was probably a move more on his ambition to be an important player and to be important for a club rather than just money, because he would have gotten a lot of money out of Man United as well if he was staying. So what is your view on this fan reaction at Man United or around Carlos Tevez, John?
Well, I haven't had the chance to meet the Man United fans here in Malaysia, so probably tomorrow when I go to work, I will get that plentiful of reaction from all of them. But I guess, you know, as a fan of football, who wouldn't be excited about a player like Carlos Tevez? I think if you guys remember, you know, like 3 years ago when the transfer to West Ham United, you know, that just came out of nowhere. We all saw what that particular move meant for all those Hammers faithful out there. You know, they went out to buy his jersey. They put his name behind them. You know, they were like over the moon to have a player like Carlos Tevez at their club. And I guess that's the same thing I would say for Man City fans. You know, I think they see Tevez as someone is not really in the same prima donna league as much as Robinho is. They see someone who is more like someone like them. You know, the working class background, someone who fights for every game he plays for. So I guess, you know, to them, it means the whole world. And I suppose for the Man United fans, you know, I mean, what can I say? I feel sorry for you guys. You know, it's a wonderful player because, you know, the last 2 years seeing him playing for United, seeing how he changed Argentina football impression among English football followers, you know. You know, suddenly, you know, for me in Malaysia, I get to hear good things about Argentina football. You know, it's no longer about the hand of God or Diego Simeone, but everyone knows Carlos Tevez is, you know. And I suppose, you know, you can't blame him. He wants the exposure on the field. It's not just about the money, I guess, you know. I mean, if people are arguing about the money, then you should go after Cristiano Ronaldo because he earns much more than Tevez does. But don't blame the players, you know. You guys should go right now and find Sir Alex's home and protest right in front of him, right now.
Well, yeah. Well, what Ferguson is saying is that Tevez didn't reply to his text messages or his phone call. And I believe this is kind of both parties trying to blame the other. And Tevez said that United never offered him a contract until the end of this season or thereabouts. Now, Ferguson is saying that he offered Tevez a contract, but he believes he had already arranged a deal with Man City in January, which is highly improbable and unlikely. But, you know, it's the way it goes. Nobody wants to take the blame on Tevez leaving. It could cause fans revolt, main strikers to the City rivals. So, do you expect to see many blue shirts now with the 32 on the back in Buenos Aires, Johnny?
Absolutely.
Because it was all red until this season. Yeah. It was all red, and I don't think those were fans of Man United. They were probably fans of Carlos Tevez, and they will now buy the blue shirt instead of the red.
They'll be buying the blue shirts right away. Absolutely.
Kind of silly the way it works, but
yeah,
it's a crazy world. And not only he changed from red to blue, but maybe he will have an impact on the way these two clubs are seen in the speaking world. When you say, yeah, he plays for Manchester, it goes without saying that you're meaning Manchester United. And it's not the same as in an English-speaking country when you will say Man City or Man United. You will add the name of a club apart from the name of a city. I believe that is about to change in the Spanish-speaking world, especially in Argentina, because now they will say, yeah, did you watch Manchester play last night? And then they will ask, but which team of Manchester? So far, it was only Manchester United. And now, Carlos Tevez will probably put Man City on the map in Argentina. And I'm pretty sure that Manchester City will get more exposure on Argentine television than Manchester United. Do you agree with me, Johnny, in there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I would guess that people will refer to Manchester City as just City. You know, City and Manchester for the two teams. But yeah, I'm sure that they will make sure that Manchester City's matches are shown down here in Buenos Aires, just like they made sure over the past several years that we saw all the Man U games.
Yeah, and we even saw the West Ham United matches before that, and ever since Tevez left West Ham, I think. If we saw one match of West Ham without Tevez, that was probably exaggerating. So it will be the same. He will have the same impact for Manchester City, and that's probably one thing that the owners at Man City are trying to achieve, to get exposure for their club and their brand. And it's not the same thing to sign Gareth Barry or Roque Santa Cruz, for that matter. So Tevez is a global figure, and he, due to the fact that he plays for Argentina, and we have fans all over the world, as all of us know, he will take Man City a step further, a step forward. So I'm really curious about this new era that is starting at the Eastlands, and I wish Carlitos all the best. And hopefully we'll see Man City creating some problems for the Big Four up there in the Premiership standings and see a much, much more interesting season this time around. And let's change a little bit the angle and talk about another player that could be to a different club, and is none other than Rodrigo Palacio. He played a few matches for Argentina. He went to the World Cup in Germany, and he played for Boca. But now he will probably go to Genoa in Italy to play alongside Hernan Crespo, the new signing for Genoa, after Diego Milito went to Inter. Remember, Genoa moved to get Hernan Crespo, and probably Crespo will see an increase of minutes for him at Genoa. He didn't have many chances to play under Mourinho for Inter, and I can see a parallel there between Crespo's move to Genoa and Carlito's move to City, because now both players will probably enjoy more minutes, and they will probably that will probably be beneficial for our national team, because if Crespo scores 20 goals in the season for Genoa, I don't see why he wouldn't be on Diego Maradona's plans. But he will probably have a partner in Rodrigo Palacio, and you've been watching Palacio for the last couple of years or maybe more. What can you tell us about his current form and whether this move will be beneficial for him or not, Johnny?
You know, his current form has been better than it was about a year ago. He had a lingering groin problem and didn't play a whole lot, and then they had to bring him back really slowly. And he's improved since then, but he's still not the player that he was 3 or 4 years ago. You know, Palacio is a very, very fast guy, but he's very light. And, you know, they used to talk about him going to the EPL, and I thought, he's not going to be able to make it over there because he's too light. He's always on the ground. Somebody just touches him, he falls. When he's right, he's a great finisher. Like I say, he's lightning fast. You know, there's been talk about Rodrigo going to Europe for the past 4 years, and nothing has ever happened. So I'll kind of believe it when I see it. Maybe it'll really happen this time. But on the other hand, Rodrigo really likes Coco a lot, and Coco Basile is back with Boca now. Mm-hmm. So it might just be talk again. Maybe Rodrigo won't go to Italy. We'll have to see.
Hold on there, Johnny, for a minute, because I'm reading that this is a done deal now. So Rodrigo Palacio will now play for Genoa next season because the Italian club pay around 5 million euros for him. Palacio will now play with Hernan Crespo, and we'll have to see whether those two can work together as well as Palacio did with Palermo at Boca Juniors in recent years. So good news for Rodrigo. Not so much for Boca fans. And there you go. That's a confirmed deal you heard here on Mundo Albiceleste.
Okay, here's another, not to say an interesting news for Argentina fans, but still is an Argentina player and someone who I believe has in the past, you know, given his best service for the national team. And we're talking about Julio Cruzier. And of course, you know, with the arrival of Diego Milito right now in Inter Milan, it surely going to make a little things more tough for him to get a first team football or even play football for that matter. So we've been hearing a lot of rumors about him moving away from the San Siro, and the latest which I've been hearing is Lazio are interested in getting him. I don't know about his future anymore in the national team, because I think it's pretty much we can say it's done, it's in the past. Unless Diego makes another surprise. But I guess, you know, for him to go to Lazio, I would say it's a good move for him. You know, and, you know, it's not really the kind of big club that we want to talk about. But I'm sure he will do well there.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for him to go and go to a place where he could play first team football. He's a proven goal scorer. He has always scored wherever he went. When he went to Holland, Italy, everywhere he played, he has scored. And he can continue doing that for a team like Lazio. And maybe with Milito, as you said, and Ibrahimovic staying at Inter Milan, he wouldn't have many chances. So I believe it's a good thing for him to move. And more company for Mauro Zárate at Lazio then. What about Saviola? He started with a goal in a preseason friendly for Benfica. Not the most attractive league in Europe, Portugal, but we've seen Lucho González and Lisandro López making the national team playing regularly for Porto, and I don't see why Ciola or even Aymar, if he picks up his old form, I don't see why they shouldn't be considered maybe in the future. And it's an interesting prospect, that team at Benfica. He will play Champions League football, so I will keep an eye on them, because as I said with Julio Cruz, Saviola has always scored everywhere he went, and I think what he needs is a little bit of continuity and have a chance to play every week. Another forward in the move in this very busy transfer market in Europe for Argentine players is Lisandro López. We covered that on Mundo Albiceleste, and now Lisandro goes from Porto to Olympique Lyon, and so from one multi-champion in Portugal to another multi-champion in France. And it's the highest they ever pay for a player at Lyon. And I'm really excited to see him play in a new environment and see how he reacts. And maybe having Champions League football ahead of him as well. And he'll have a very difficult task because he, of course, was signed to replace Karim Benzema, who went to Real Madrid, one of the 74 players that went to Real Madrid in the summer, maybe. And so he's not going to have a very easy walk in the park at Lyon, because the fans will demand a lot from him. But we all know him, and he's a player who can really deliver. And I think in a league like France, where the play is very open, he can benefit from that. And again, put some pressure on Maradona to call him up for the national team, as he's been doing, but to also give him some minutes on the pitch. And before we go, just tell us about one troublemaker that we have playing in Brazil, John.
Well, I've been hearing this news. I mean, it's not a news, actually. It's probably the latest blockbuster movie to come out from Brazil. They call it the Copa do Brasil Brawl. And it's starring none other than Andres de Alessandro. And to give us more about what that movie is all about and what it actually took place, we'll let our friend Johnny here, you know, have a say on this.
You may know more about it than I do. I read this morning that he got suspended for 60 days, which they say is 13 matches, and that he was the main instigator in this big brouhaha the other night. You know, it's a terrible thing. I've been lobbying for Diego to bring D'Alessandro on and maybe have D'Alessandro get a chance on the national team and see if he could be the enganche. You know, for me, he is a tremendously skilled player. He sees the field well. He plays hard, but looks like he still has sawdust in between his ears. So we're gonna have to wait for some time to see what happens with Andy D'Alessandro.
Yeah, he is a troublemaker. That's why I chose that word. And the thing was, Nacional, the Porto Alegre, his team was playing Corinthians, Ronaldo's team. Not Cristiano Ronaldo, the other one, the fat one, the best one.
El Gordo.
El Gordo, el fenómeno. So they were playing the final match, which is a tournament that it's official. It's like the FA Cup in England or the Copa del Rey. And they were playing in the final. And the winner gets automatic qualification to the Copa Libertadores of 2010. And all of a sudden, well, Inter was losing heavily, and all of a sudden D'Alessandro picked up a fight with another guy. He saw the red card, and after he saw the red card, he tried to fight this guy, and he chased him like 15 or 20 meters, and the guy was walking backwards, and D'Alessandro was doing some moves like Nassim Hamed kind of thing. And it was very funny to see it, and at the same time it was very sad. And after that, there were talks of him getting a suspension of 2 years or even a month, or a very, very heavy suspension. And D'Alessandro said, if they suspend me like that when I never hit any player or I never hurt anybody, I think it will be something. He didn't say racist, but he said that it will be only because he's Argentine and he's playing in Brazil. And in the end, it ended up being only 60 days, and he will miss 13 matches. And he said also, like having a laugh after the game, he said, okay, I was already red carded, I try to pick up a fight with somebody to see if maybe the referee will show the red card to one of my rivals. And so that's a trick he tried to do, and obviously it didn't pay off, and now he's suspended. So I think
I guess they don't call him the big head for nothing, right?
Well, it's more because of the size of his head, not because of what's inside. But yeah, I guess you can also interpret it like that. So I think that's all for us today. Thank you, Johnny. It's been a pleasure to have you here, and we hope you can join us in the future in another edition.
Glad to be here, Saba. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thanks, John, in Malaysia. It's been 2 weeks without you, and we really miss you. And now you're back for good. So thanks again for your views and all your comments.
Yeah, thanks, Eba. And most importantly, thanks to Johnny for being with us today. It was a pleasure having you. And as for the rest of the Mundo gang out there, keep your comments coming in and keep your emails coming in at argentina.correspondent@gmail.com. And we will talk more about Argentina in the near future to come.
And you can also follow us on Twitter. You can find all the details at our homepage. And on our sidebar to the right, there's the Twitter segment that we have there. And you can start following us for all the breaking news and to find out first than anybody, before anybody else does. So thanks again, and vamos Argentina.